is now 10 years later. Well, actually, not really. But we are back here now for part two of Why the Sky is Not Falling.
And we have so much to babble about. Yeah, I just watched it.
You know, this is exactly why I'm a hermit. Because I don't,
on your
I don't
desert
get out.
Island?
I don't, yeah. I don't, oh, get out, I don't see everything for like months and months and months. And then all of a sudden, y'all drop this bombshell. Hey, we're going to record. And here it is. 5 hours later, we're still recording the damn thing. I'm kidding,
yeah.
Folks. I'm kidding. It really hasn't been that long.
But has it? Are you sure? Do you trust us? Stay tuned and find out now.
In this study level episode.
But I do want to actually sort of leverage off another point that you made before, Sergio, and that was and you mentioned it about with third party devs about the concerns that we don't like talking about money. Money's a taboo topic. We don't talk about that. But at the end of the day, we're all people. We've all got to try and put food on the table for ourselves at the very least, and usually our families. So, at the end of the day, all these things that get created, whatever game they're for, and however you, the viewer, or us, the presenters, how we acquire that content, all of that content took someone's time, skills, effort, and passion to be able to produce. And the Flight Sim community, I think, is one of the clear examples of that. The level of detail and content and quality of content, admittedly, there's also some very dubious stuff out there as well, but the level of detail and quality of content that goes into the vast majority of the content that is available to us. You don't get that by somebody who's just, passing through. And so much amazing content comes to us for either free or very, very low cost. And at the end of the day, they're passion projects, but passion doesn't put food in your belly. So, and I know people are going to say, oh, but Microsoft's a big, scary corporation. They can afford to do everything. They don't have to pay anybody. Well, they don't have to make money. It's like, yeah, well, you know what? They've still got people they got to pay. So I want to take a moment to talk about the whole thing of payment and pricing things and discussing that, because we've already talked now about how if you bought your content and to Drew's point, we only know for sure that in sim marketplace purchase content will carry across. It is a logical step to say that if you purchased it from Orbix or Just Flight, that content will also work, but fair enough, no guarantees. So you don't need to rebuy your thing. And again, as I said, the FAQ said you don't need to rebuy it. So cool, I don't have to respend any more money on that. But now this was the question of, but I paid $60, $90, $100, whatever, for Microsoft Flight Simulator back in 2020, 2021, whatever. Am I going to have to buy this sequel again? Why should I have to pay for it again?
And are there enough features in it to justify whatever price it is they're going to ask for?
And I am having deja vu. I'm just having this weird sense of deja vu having this conversation, except it was about this weird simulator, X something, maybe? Or maybe it was prepare something? I don't remember.
Hey, DCS is still free. You just got to pay for the modules.
And there's just a remark. And usually on those sims, things break. Add-ons break from one version to the other. Microsoft is saying most won't.
So they, as far as I'm concerned, they're already ahead. Now, And I know there's a really, really good infographic that Sergio, you've shared a couple of times on the social medias, I've shared as well, of the, I think it was the Wikipedia tracking.
Oh, the chart.
The chart. Where basically every 1 to 2 years, all the way up to 2006, we were getting a new sim. And guess what? Most of your add-ons didn't work. Or if they did, they had to be extensively reworked. And guess what? You didn't get a discount because you owned the last one. You had to buy it again. So that's that. And then, you know, obviously there was a bit of a hiatus period between 2006 and 2012, 13, whatever it was.
No, well, no,
it was
2014,
2016, when Steam Edition came out. Mm-hmm. Where again, anything that worked for FSX, and this was the first time really that the Microsoft ESP sort of flight sim community didn't actually have to rebuy add-ons, because it was the same game, but with the acceleration. So if you bought it for FSX, guess what? It worked for FSX Steam Edition.
Can you do some quick math, Tristan?
I didn't come here to math.
Let's imagine. I will let you continue. Just want to pick up on what you said about buying, you know, every year. So this version of Microsoft Flight Simulator was released in 2020. It is expected to last for 4 years. At the most, people paid $120.
Yep.
Okay. So that's what, $30 a year?
Yep.
How many hours do most of these people have in the sim?
But it's part of a 10-year plan.
No, I want to get to that later.
We'll get to that.
We could be here all night without one.
Yeah. This is already people, two or episode.
This is not the subscription model, but people are complaining about $30
a year. $30 a year. And thank you for actually picking up where I was going with this, because I would much rather. Let's assume everybody, and we know damn well they didn't, but let's assume everybody bought the premium deluxe edition, right? So they paid $120. So they're getting $30. They're paying $30 a year for that product. Cool. Okay. Let's have a look at X-Plane.
Excuse me, Tristan. I'm sorry. I'm almost interrupted. Just to add to that information, and they paid $120 with extra content, right? Because you're not paying $120 just because. You're paying for more aircraft and more airports.
For a bunch of extra, bunch of more airports.
Right?
Yep. Mm. No, yep. Exactly. Yep.
And so 20 updates so far.
And 20 updates that everybody got, whether you paid $60 or you paid $120, everybody got all those updates.
And the 40th anniversary edition.
Yep.
Okay. So just to be clear, you pay
And I think we talked about this in a previous episode, that the world updates that we get every 3 to 6 months, I think it's every three months, I think we average.
More than that.
We'll say. Let's average. You know what? Just for sake of argument, let's say six. So 4 times a year. Every time you're getting one of those world updates, you're getting 4 handcrafted airports. You're getting updated detailed terrain mesh, plus updated imagery for the part of the world, plus a bunch of POI packs, and a bunch of cityscapes. Now, my memory sort of going, just scanning through my memory here on the marketplace. Each one of those airports at minimum would have set you back $15. At absolute minimum, it would have set you back $15. Each one of those, that terrain mesh update, that would have set you back another 15, probably $20. So let's say, you know, let's call it 15. Those 5+ cities that you got in Photo Reel for the city landscape packs, each of those are going to cost you $15 each. And then you get a bunch of POIs scattered around all the rest of it, plus landing challenges, bush trips, and all the rest of it. So let's call that another $30. So you're up to, what, over $100 worth of value from the InSim marketplace that you're getting for free every 3 months. So your $120 or $60 investment has got you a hell of a lot more than $60. Just put that in mind. Right. Yeah. Okay. Derailed enough. So you got that. Okay. So you've paid $30 a year to get all that. Let's have a look at Prepared. Prepared comes out, and I know there are people who are going to tell me that, oh, Prepared only costs $60. No, it doesn't. Prepared costs $200. Let's be clear about this. Unless you are a K-12 student, please go back and read the licensing agreement that you fraudulently agreed to, Prepared costs you $200. And you get maybe you get a couple of hot fixes, maybe a half-assed patch. Remember, I used to work for them. You get a half-assed patch, and then you've got to pay another $200 4 years later. You don't get a bunch of Pancraft airports. You don't get stuff. Oh, and by the way, all the stuff that used to work in the previous version of it, you got about a 40% chance that that's going to work with the new version.
What's even crazier?
Roll the dice, baby.
What's even crazier is that we're not even talking about major versions. Sometimes things break in minor versions. For example,
4.3 to 4.4, shit went sideways.
Yeah, minor versions. So inside the same version,
shit breaks. Yeah. So just remember that, folks. Okay, so that's the, and then you've got X-Plane where you're paying $70, I think. Was it $70?
$60.
And you're paying for that every 4 years. But again, same thing. You get the partial, the intermediary upgrades, break things. You don't get a lot of new content in those intermediary patches.
But hey, I got a Tomcat.
But let's be fair with Laminar Research. It's a lot better than Prepared. Because, though things break, they do vast amounts of advancement in the sim. I remember 11 came out, no VR. 11.2 came out with VR. So they added VR. We had some, and then Vulcan and all of that. So
When they're doing their incremental patches, they are actually doing fairly significant updates behind the scenes.
Remember, let's be fair about that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, let's be fair about that. But remember that so is Microsoft. They're not only doing all those major behind the scenes changes, such as adding VR, but they're also doing the content updates as well. So sure, okay, your upfront cost was more with Microsoft Flight Simulator, absolutely, or potentially either the same. If you bought the base version of MSFS versus X-Plane, or if you bought the top tier premium deluxe, you still got all those additional content updates for free.
You forgot
all the technical updates.
You forgot one thing, Tristan. Yeah, we now have one new type of update for Microsoft Flight Simulator, which is the avionics update. Yeah, so we have a third tier of updates.
We've got a third tier updates coming through. You're getting all of this. So that's the three. Okay, well, DCS, as you said, Drew, DCS is, I don't know how you put it. Okay, you know what? To be fair, you're right. DCS, okay, you know what? We'll talk about it. DCS.
DCS is a whole different animal.
It's a whole different kettle of fish.
Maybe comparing the DCS model with the Microsoft Flight Simulator model, or even the X-Plane model for that matter, isn't fair. It's probably easier to compare like their VR experiences than it is like the overall game experience, which obviously Microsoft has made great leaps and bounds when it comes to VR. DCS has also made great leaps and bounds when it comes to VR. Both right now are in a really good place performance-wise, provided, of course, you have everything set up properly on your end. X-Plane 12, not so much. There's a reason why you haven't even seen it on my channel. It's because I can't get it to perform in VR the way I expect it to in order to show it off. But at least as far as the Sims themselves, the business model, yeah, DCS is like a whole different animal. And you talk about earlier, people being programmed and so on and so forth. The DCS community has a completely different way of looking at it. I don't want to say we or they, you know, like to pit communities against each other, but the DCS community in general tends to sit back and laugh a lot at some of the shenanigans that are going on in like the Microsoft Flight Simulator community. But by the same token, it's more from a standpoint of we feel the pain.
Is it with the meme of first time?
Two more weeks. Exactly that.
So,
but
okay,
you're talking about a sim that's free for its base, you know, package.
Yeah,
you could actually fly DCS and you get what, two maps, two planes, so on and so forth. And then, of course,
you get
all
two
the
maps
modules.
For free? I thought
Marianas is now included as a free map. So Marianas
but
Caucasus.
Right, so you're limited to regional areas, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so but DCS, as you said, like you're paying per module.
No,
so every time you want...
And no helicopters.
No free helicopters.
There's no default helicopter.
Just saying.
Heli Mafia, you've got to get on that. Chop, chop.
That's right.
So that's the backdrop to here, right? Okay, so let's have a look at that again. You know, so you said you've paid $30 per year for Microsoft Flight Simulator to get hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of free content updates, plus all the behind the scenes base content evolution and improvements, all of that for free over the course of 4 years.
This is what people like to complain about and say that Asobo is not fixing.
Yeah. And we're not even talking about servers and bandwidth and all that stuff, right? Because that is
exactly. So, again, rightly or wrongly, Microsoft is it's not exclusively online, but basically, if you want to get the most out of the sim, you are going to be online. And those servers, hate to tell you this, everybody at home, but they cost money. They're not cheap. So you've got streaming bandwidth. You've got servers that are running, you know, globally around the 24/7. So putting that in mind, keeping that in mind, if I have the choice, before I get to that point, let's move out of the flight simulation world for a minute, and let's look at another title which relies on always online, which has regular content updates, and is playable by people all over the world. Let's look at World of Warcraft.
Including simmers, yes.
yes. For the Alliance! Anyway.
Okay. I've still never played World of Warcraft, by the way, ever.
It's not. Nice.
Ever.
It's nice. So let's have a look at World of Warcraft. So World of Warcraft...
I have a helicopter in World of Warcraft, so...
Don't you have to be? Don't you have to be in
Tamriel.
I created a character once just to get the helicopter.
Didn't he? Right. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. So you've actually it's absolutely expected of you as the Don of the Helicopter Mafia. It's 100% accepted. Anyway, yeah. So let's have a look at this. So you've got an online community. You know, you've got a full world where open sim, open world, where you can go and pick flowers, you can go and beat enemies to a pulp, you can do quests, you can do structured story. You've got all this different thing. There is regular content being put out where there are different seasons, where you get multiple free updates, including new dungeons, new content, new story. However, you have to purchase each expansion, which comes out every 2 years? About every 2 years. So you're paying 18, about
24 months. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's call it 2 years. So every 2 years, you're paying $60-$70 for a new set of experiences, whether they be that includes story, quests, dungeons, all the rest of it. But on top of that, paying that every 2 years. Guess what you're also paying? monthly subscription cost. So you are paying, I can't remember what it is at the moment, but I think it's like, it's a minimum 13, of 15.
Yeah,
it's a minimum of about, it's about $15 a month.
Wait, they still have a subscription model in this day and age?
Yep.
Well, I guess ESO does too, but it's optional for them.
So, I mean, still successful, probably not as successful as they were like 20 years ago, but, or 10, 15 years ago. But either way, you're paying $15 a month to access the server, to access your character, to be able to do your dailies and get the content. But if you want to play the new story, and if you want to play the new content, you're still having to buy every 2 years. Now, during that two-year window between expansions, you get a lot of free content updates for your $60. So again, that $60 over the course of 2 years, that's $30 a year. You're getting, you get what's released at launch, plus all these extra updates that come through. But you're also paying a $15 a month subscription fee. Now, if I have to pay $120 every 4 years to be able to fly with the latest technology, the latest content on, some of what is quite frankly, in my opinion, it's the best flight sim out there for my experience, because I'm an all rounder. I know that the DCS and X-Plane are far better at specific helicopter dynamics. I am very well aware that Prepared is the best at system simulations. But my overall flying experience, virtual flying experience, Microsoft Flight Simulator beats all of them hands down, because it allows me to do what I want to do.
It's balanced.
It is a balanced sim.
Yeah.
Now, if I have to pay $120 once every 4 years to get access to the latest improvements, the latest tech, and still have all my content from the previous iterations, most likely being given an assurance that they are almost definitely going to keep working with minimal to no changes on my part or adjustments on my part, and I don't have to pay a subscription fee, I'm sold. I have no problem paying $120 every 4 years. And the key point to that goes back to what we were just saying before. All that free content that we're getting every 3 months, those servers that are streaming all that satellite imagery data to my system, those servers that allow me to fly online with my friends, my friends, my fellow simmers, to be able to stream to all of you lovely folks on Twitch and be able to see my house from here. Damn freaking straight I'm going to do that, because at the end of the day, Microsoft is a business. They've got to make money as well, or else, guess what? It ain't going to last.
Yeah.
Very true.
Microsoft is the cap, and there we go. Yeah.
Ultimately, it's going to come down to, like I said, the big communication thing. I mean, bottom line is they know they've got a good thing going. Otherwise, they wouldn't be investing all this money, all this time and resources into further iterations of it. And, I know there have been a lot of people out there that are like, oh, well, we've just been beta testers this whole time. 2024 is going to be the real deal. No.
I hate to tell you this. If you're playing X-Plane or Prepared, guess what? You're a paying beta tester. Sorry.
We won't even get into DCS because they know they invented that lie. No, but seriously, it really is going to come down to the whole communication aspect. And I know with Flight Sim Expo coming, that is going to be a massive opportunity for both Microsoft and Asobo to, get all the ducks in a row, set all the records straight, and basically assuade any fears that the community has. And from my understanding, two of our illustrious grumpy simmers are going to be there. I know I will not. I'll be on my little hermit island here, as I typically am. I already had my trip out of the house for this year. I'm done. I won't be at Flight Sim Expo. But I happen to know two other gentlemen who would be there, and I'm going to throw it down to you to make sure that Asobo and Microsoft, how do we put it, do the right thing. Is that a good way of putting
it? Okay, so who are you going? So by the way, okay, so obviously the cat's out of the bag, folks. As I didn't think it was going, but yes, I am going to be at Flight Sim Expo this year. Sergio is super excited because he's got now a fellow co-conspirator to help him with his professional nagging.
I'll be at home watching from the internet. I wish I could send you all with like purple hats or whatever. Just like mob the entire place with purple hats. Tell them Bell Geode sent you.
So folks, if you are going to be at Flight Sim Expo, please look out for Sergio and myself. We look forward to meeting many of you. Of course, please don't be a stranger to us. We love meeting all fellow members of our community. And yes, I will be there. There are some links down below for us and our times there. So I look forward to seeing everybody there. And I'm looking forward to catching up with my dear friend Sergio in person for the first time since 2020.
2019.
Jesus.
Last time we met was
Seattle. Last time we were in this. Yeah, it was in Seattle.
Yeah.
It's just such a big thing for us, and I think that it's really important that we as a community get our heads out of our ass for a start and realize that at the end of the day, these companies need to make money. And it's not because we're lining the greedy pockets of the greedy capitalists. No, it's so we can, so they can pay developers to keep giving us the stuff that we want.
Yeah.
I remember, Sergio. It's self-reason. If you want this community to continue to grow and improve and be better and do cooler stuff, guess what? You're going to have to pony up some cash, and I would much rather cough up $120 every 4 years, which again, as we've just been discussing, that is the history of flight simulation, is what we do. That's what we do. That's how we fund the future. So I would much rather do that than have to pay a subscription service. So just think about that before you go off half angry. Now, again, I want to clarify this by saying we don't actually know yet if this is going to be a, you know, what it's going to look like for an update. We've been told, yes, it's a brand new sim, but we don't know.
We haven't been given a price or anything.
Been given a price point. We haven't been told if there's going to be different editions. We haven't been told if there will be a discount for existing owners of 2020. We don't know. And again, hopefully at Flight Sim Expo, we will have a lot of these questions answered. But as I said, even if, assuming worst case scenario, we are not going to get a discount, I don't care. I am happily going to pony up $120 for that. And again, Sergio, I recall, go back to a comment that I remember you discussing when we were still dealing with the aftermath of the announcement of 2020. God, even I'm calling it that now. When we were living with the aftermath of the announcement of it, and we talked about the in-sim store, where I remember very distinctly you talked about how we needed to make sure that, while yes, we should support all third-party developers and buy things from, and it's great to buy things directly from their own stores, I remember distinctly that you made a really good point about why we should also consider buying from the in-sim marketplace.
Yeah, to continue supporting Microsoft Flight Simulator, because Microsoft gets a cut from those sales. So it is important to buy from the marketplace as well, because that will tell Microsoft, well, on one side, it will inject money into the project itself. On the other hand, it will also send a message to people that make decisions, which is not York, is not Sebastian. It's people.
It's the faceless bean counters.
So it sends them a sign that, you know, the project is profitable. And it should continue. And it's actually, this announcement for Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024, and it touched it briefly before, Tristan, is actually a good sign if we think about it. Microsoft is willing to invest on a new release. Microsoft is willing to put marketing money, marketing strategy, to pay whoever is working on these new features. Something that is very interesting, you also told, mentioned it before, I think it was you or Drew, I don't remember which one, but I think it was you, Tristan. We have helicopters that were made by third-party developers. And this is a strategy that I heard Microsoft say that they were pursuing. I heard this from Microsoft personally. Mm. They were saying that it wouldn't make sense to them to get a Zobo to spend time on building aircraft when we have third-party developers that can do that. And the Zobo can focus on the core of the sim.
On the core sim and improve it for everybody?
Yes, exactly. That is the strategy. That's the strategy that Microsoft is following. And if you see all the latest releases, including the 40th anniversary edition, with the exception of the Gimbal Cabra G2, the little helicopter, which was developed by a Zobo while they were developing helicopter flight dynamics, because they used it for
they needed something to do the testing.
They needed a base.
Does it work?
They needed a baseline. Right.
That was developed by a Zobo, but everything else was developed. Every other aircraft were developed by third-party developers. And I am assuming the new aircraft we saw in the trailer were also developed by third-party developers. And that is the strategy. That is what Microsoft is following right now. So it makes completely sense.
It's sharing the wealth too, because you know you're not only promoting the new sim, but you're also promoting the third-party developers who are obviously going to be getting paid.
Exactly,
and we've already seen it. Like we've already seen it. Like you know, the 40th anniversary aircraft. They were all almost as you said, Sergio. Apart from the Calibri, they're all done by third-party devs that were brought in.
The Airbus by Inibuild, the Bell 47 by Nemeth Designs. We had
the DC-3 by Aeroplane Heaven. So, and that is, again, circular arguments here all over the place. Is that it shows that the production team is very aware of the impact the community has and can have, and how they can impact it the other way around. So they are getting them involved to get the most out of to get the most out of the product, to give the best they possibly can to the community. I agree, and I think that this is a good step forward. And again, I would rather see the team at Asobo working on core content updates, to working on feature updates, for doing all the things they're already doing, and be able to take the burden off them. Yeah, to take the burden of aircraft design and manufacture off them, to enable them to focus on improving the simulator experience for everybody. I mean, the fact that we're getting tornadoes that can naturally occur based on the correct climatic conditions, that shows that the weather engine they've got has advanced even more than it already has. So, you know, I'm super excited to see what the future holds for that.
So we've got hurricane hunters in the sim right now. Pretty soon we'll have tornado chasers. What a time to be alive.
I just need somebody to do, okay, so hey, Microsoft, if you're listening, find a third-party dev to do a P3 Orion so we can do the Noah, Kermit, and Miss Piggy. That would be sweet. But as we sort of get to sort of round out the here, one of the things that I want to address here, because we did address many of the community concerns, and we've talked about the sim, we've talked about that it's a new sim, we've talked about the fact that our add-ons will keep working, and a lot of the concerns that we also share. Again, like we are part of the community. We are not apart from everybody who's watching this. We have concerns as well. But the one thing that I wanted to pick up, that I kept seeing over and over and over and over, apart from I'm not buying anything until I know the models work, was they said they support this for 10 years.
My favorite subject. So the 10-year plan.
The 10-year plan. So I want to clarify this. If you go back to the original statements and the original announcements, what didn't act? They didn't. I can feel the hate already coming through the comments here. They didn't actually say they'd support it for 10 years. They said they had a 10-year roadmap.
10-year plan. And it wasn't, and again, it was not literal 10 years. It was not literal 10 years. And York has said that more than once.
Yep.
One of the times he said that to me in an interview, I have that on camera. I have that on record. He said that it was not 10 years was a figure of speech. It was a way of them saying that they were in this for the long run.
Yep.
Right? And they never said that they were going to support Microsoft Flight, this version that we have right now for 10 years. That was never said. And I've seen people saying that they are going, we should sue them and it's a contract breach. Which contract?
Did you actually read the EULA when you clicked I accept?
Because guess what? The clause in there says they can kill it after
90 days.
I mean, come on, let's be, yes, there was a mention of 10 years, but that was not to say that they were going to support that version of the sim for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And York was very clear. You know, he even introduced that that claim that, you know, it was just a matter of speech by saying that people back in 2006, 2007, or 2008, and I don't remember which year it was, but people back when the Haze Studio closed, you know, he was saying that you could imagine the panic and people were scared because all of a sudden they were going to be abandoned, which is true. We were abandoned back then by the decisions of Microsoft for whatever reason. You know, it happens. It's part of the history. And York said that they didn't want to do this to the community now. They didn't want to repeat that piece of history that, you know, people had to go through, and it was really scary, and it was really confusing as well back then. So what he meant was that they are in the franchise, in this project as a whole, not Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020. Well, 2020, you know,
the franchise itself,
the franchise as a whole.
It's the franchise. They have, as I said, and when I talked to York, it was about they have a roadmap, they have a belief. And again, it was, as you said, Sergio, it was a figure of speech to try and reassure the community that they are going to be here for us for a long time. They're not going to, and again, use my experience with Flight, not announce something in not release something in February and drop us like a sack of shit by April.
For all we know, the 10-year plan could actually just simply be the length of time that the contract has with Microsoft before, you know, they could either renew it or whatever.
Yeah.
For example, there's one thing that I have to admit that I also kind of fell into that expression back then for a couple of reasons. One of them was that they were kind of adamant when they say, okay, we have a 10-year plan. Okay, and you guys heard the same that I did, so they said that. And then there was something else that kind of threw me off. And then I now have the feeling that it was probably planned to be the way that I'm going to tell you right now, but things may have changed for some reason. You already said something, Tristan, in the beginning of this video, which is, what is the name of the current version of the sim? It's Microsoft Flight Simulator. It's not Microsoft Flight Simulator 11 or 12. It's not Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020. That is the name that the community put it. The sim is called Microsoft Flight Simulator. And the fact that it doesn't have a number in conjunction with the fact that they were saying that they had this 10-year plan for the product made me believe at the time that we were going to have this versionless software, this versionless project.
Like how Windows 10 was going to be the last version of Windows?
Exactly. It was supposed to be just called Windows, right? And it would just get updates. And I thought they were doing the same with Microsoft Flight Simulator. So there's no version. They will keep updating. What we have right now, it's just miles, light years ahead of anything else in the market. So they don't have to do a huge amount of work to have this sim fresh in those 10 years. I can see myself playing, you know, using the sim as it is visually in 10 years. I have no problem. I have used worse. Right, we all have used worse.
I still remember keyboard and mouse with square pixel high-rise building windows of New York. I still remember that.
Yeah, and even P3D and other sims, we can make them look very pretty, but, you know, out of the shelf, they are not that good looking. So I could see myself in 10 years, you know, and this was 3 years ago, so we have 7 more years. Do I see myself in 7 years? With that, those visuals, I have no problem with that whatsoever. The visuals are really great. So I think that, at least for me, it kind of threw me off back then. And that's why I was even more surprised when Drew sent me that link. You know, Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024. I mean, you know, this doesn't go hand in hand with the image, with the picture I have in my head.
I'm telling you, it's all the community caused that. Otherwise, it was going to stay just MSFS.
Actually, you know, I think I actually have a counterpoint, and this is something that I've discussed with many members of the communities of a couple of communities as well, is that I actually think that part of what we've talked about multiple times during this video about the handling of PR and the handling of content announcements and stuff like that. So I actually think that this discussion was had over in my community Discord, and initially I was a bit skeptical, but the more I thought about it, I think that there might be something in that, because just like you, Sergio, I fell into the same thing, because I figured, because it came out the same time that Windows 10 was going to be the last version of Windows, you're just going to get continuous rolling updates from now on. Eventually they'll drop the 10, it'll just be Windows. And then suddenly we had Windows 11. So I had the same thing as you. I thought, this is just going to be continuously updated, improved content and all the rest of it. But Razor from my community raised a really interesting point, that what does a new product allow you to do? It allows you to make hype train. It allows you to present a video at an Xbox showcase and say, new title coming out. So suddenly you're not just talking about an update, you're talking about a brand new thing. And as much as, you know, I love MSFS, I think it's great, I think it's the great all-round sim, we've all talked about on many previous episodes how the initial launch definitely could have gone better, and how it wasn't feature complete when it launched in 2020. I would dare say that we are close to feature complete now, but they've delivered on the vast majority, if not all, of what their initial promises were. Some things definitely could do with a lot more polish than others, but we are essentially feature complete right now. Can they improve? Yes, but we're feature complete now, but that's 3 years down the track. So from a launching perspective, when it first hit the market in 2020, and again, this ties back into what I was saying before about giving people something to do. It was once the initial hype wore off of, hey, I can see my house from here. There was a lot of people who got lost and went, well, now what? What do I do? Where do I go? Why do I fly? And they looked to, and then those people might consider looking at influencers and see what they were doing. Not naming any particular streamer names here, but the not insignificant number of those streamers and so-called influencers that were present at the the preview event, basically, apart from the first couple of days, didn't stream Microsoft Flight Simulator for about 3 to 6 months because it, guess what? It didn't have an airliner in it that was up to their standards. So we won't even get into the conversation piece about how they were falsely advertising what they were streaming on Twitch. But anyway, moving on. So what these people were doing was basically saying, well, it's kind of okay, but it's kind of boring. It's kind of shit because it doesn't have what I want to fly in. And unfortunately, that then became, there was a marked decrease in the people who were flying Microsoft Flight Simulator because it was like, oh, well, you know, what do I do now? And the, I'm just going to straight out come out and say it, the study level airliner is not available in the sim right now. So
I wondered if we could go an entire episode without saying those two words.
Wait,
you know,
wait,
come on.
Wait. Tire smoke.
Exactly. These influencers that don't know how to actually fly an airplane, that only know how to program an autopilot. No offense to everybody who enjoys flying airliners. If that's what you enjoy, good luck to you. I salute you. I can't do it. But the problem is that those people who that is their preferred way of simming, and again, no offense to people who that's your preferred way of simming. Let's be honest. There was nothing for you in MSFS for the first 6-8 months. There wasn't enough in there until Fly-By-Wire came along to do the mods for the A320, and until PMDG came along with their aircraft. So
if you ask the number of those pilots, they will tell you now that's pretty much still all there is in Microsoft Flight Simulator. I've been seeing that come up a lot online from the airliner crowd trying to justify why they would want to get into MSFS 2024 when, you know, there's really only, what, 2 PMDG aircraft or however many airliners, airliners and so on.
Did you notice how many people stopped complaining about the release, the upcoming release of 2024 when PMDG put their statement out supporting
it? Oh, did I? I even commented on it this morning.
Yeah.
Did you know that? That was, I'm sorry, that was, that. Anyway.
Somebody has to do the damage control. If it's not going to be Microsoft and Asobo, then it might as well be PMDG.
Yeah, fair enough. So essentially, but getting back to the point is that I think one of the reasons why they're doing this is, or potentially doing this, and again, as I said before, Sergio, I had the same idea as you did, that this was just going to be a continuously updated thing. But because of that, I'm not going to say bad launch, but definitely feature incomplete launch that MSFS had, this allows them to have a full-fledged relaunch and not just as a, hey, there's a piece of DLC, because and again, from a marketing PR perspective, what am I going to be, as a non regular simmer, am I going to be excited about, oh, there's a new piece of DLC out for that, oh, that thing that streamer I watched says wasn't really that good, it's new DLC, do I really want to bother with it? And the core game sounded like it was pretty crap 4 years ago. Yeah, you know what, I'm going to skip it. Versus, oh my God, there's a new sim coming out where I can build a tower. I can go rescue people off a mountain. I can go be an airline captain. Which one is going to be more effective?
I agree with you. I agree. Well, that's why I think they changed their plans meanwhile because of that thing where the name didn't have a version first. So I agree with you, Tristan. I think there was a change. There was a shift in the communication, and they had to do it. Yeah.
As long as my Heat Blur and India Fox Techo F-14 Tomcat works in Flight Simulator 2024, they will hear zero complaints from me. And as long as I can still do it in this, that's all I care about.
Hey, Microsoft and Asobo, if you're listening, you know, just take note of that, please.
And yep.
Hey, and by the way, India Fox Deco, good work. We love your work. Anyway, okay. So look, I think
That was a good point. The last one that you said, Tristan. I realized that something had changed, but I didn't see it from that perspective. That is a very interesting perspective, and I think it may be pretty much on point.
Yeah, and as I said, it was something that when it was first being discussed with me, I didn't see it. And then the more I thought about it, I've gone, you know what, having worked in sales and marketing myself in a previous life, 100% I get it. If I'm telling you that, hey, this is an upgrade, you're going to go, you're not going to listen to the new features of the upgraded device. You're going to go back to what was the original device like. If the original device was shit, then you don't care if they've made it, you know, god tier excellent. You're just going to be stuck on the memory of how crap the old version was. But if I tell you this is brand new, never been seen before, it just happens to come from the same, you know, manufacturer, then you're going to go, you're actually going to listen and you're going to be interested and you're going to take in the information that's available. So,
and to be fair, if you think about this community, if you build something as an update, the prevailing thought right now, just based on the experiences that we've had for the last few months, or actually from the last few years, the prevailing thought on updates is, oh God, here we freaking go again. This is going to break my entire sim.
And let's be honest, and Asobo's having to deal with that, rightly or wrongly. They've been having to deal with a bunch of self-entitled members of our community, not afraid to say it, that say, Asobo broke my sim again.
That's because they keep ripping us off for months.
Yeah, but that's, you know, completely ignoring all the amazing stuff that they've given us and improved upon and, you know, worked with third-party devs like Working Tidal to give us far better avionics, you know, worked with, you know, with third-party devs to give us better third-party, you know, better models, you know, worked with, you know, whatever companies or Black Shark AI to give us improved algorithms. You know, ignoring all of that to simply focus on, it broke my add-on that the developer hasn't had a chance to get out of bed yet and realize that something broke and they need to fix. So, yeah, as I said, I'm just hopeful that this puts in a bit of perspective for everybody with the wide-ranging discussion that we've had today. So I suppose it's to round out this two-part episode to tell you why the sky isn't falling. I'll throw back to the Don of the Helicopter Mafia. Any closing thoughts from you, sir?
Yes. Well, I just want to say that if things don't go the way that we are thinking they are going, I'm going to be disappointed. Like you said, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. We can speculate. And I'm very excited because all the speculation in my head is just absolutely brilliant. So if that doesn't go the way I think it's going to be disappointing. Because I sometimes think people, just because they don't see us bashing Asobo and Microsoft, they believe we are a bunch of fools and idiots that don't know any better and just blindly follow these companies for whatever reason. It's not a matter of blindly following companies. It's just a matter of, I'm not an idiot following blindly. I just don't want to be an idiot constantly being toxic and negative. There's a difference. It's a different kind of, and I'm a different kind of idiot. Let's put it that way.
Sergio Costa, 2023. I'm a different kind of idiot.
Exactly. I have to do one of those shirts for me. I'm okay with being an idiot, but I'm if I have to be.
But
an
you're
idiot,
our I, idiot.
Yeah,
you're our idiot. You are the flight sim community's helicopter mafia Don idiot. So
idiot, yes. But at least I'm the kind of idiot that I'm comfortable with. So I'm comfortable being that kind of idiot. And I think you guys I'm not calling you idiots, but you are the same in that perspective. That's you are.
Oh, I know I'm an idiot. I know I'm an idiot. I fully embrace it.
I didn't want to say anything, but no, but I know you. I know you guys shared that vision with me, and we are not usually negative towards things. We try to see things from all perspectives and be neutral and think about these things. And that's what I'm doing. Will I be disappointed if this ends up being a shit show? Yeah, of course. Am I going to be happy if things go sideways and all of a sudden we have a shitty product? Yeah. I'm going to be, you know, pissed to start with. But I think Earth will continue to revolve around the sun, and I'll find a way to continue to fly my helicopters in the sim. So it's just, we'll just keep pushing forth.
Mr. Beltier.
Well, I don't know. From my perspective, first off, those of you who are watching that, you know, are familiar with the channel will have noticed that you haven't seen any content on the channel at all. That's been a deliberate hiatus that I have gone on for the time being. And mainly for, you know, my own personal reasons and so on. Life has been pretty hectic with work and so on and so forth. Plus, you know, even though I'm still living the hermit life, I did have some rather significant good things happen as far as, you know, my family, my personal life. So I actually had to attend to a lot of that stuff. But the other reason is there was coming a time where between Microsoft Flight Simulator, DCS, X-Plane, and yeah, I'll even throw Prepared in there, even though Prepared really hasn't been on my hard drive for a while. You start to get tired of doing the same thing. You start to get a little bit burnt out. I mean, it was getting to the point where, and don't get me wrong, I'm forever grateful to them for doing this, but I have developers like sending me stuff every week, you know, expecting that, you know, there's going to be some kind of a preview or review or first look or whatever you want to term it. So pretty much all of that has been on a hiatus. And it's even gotten as far as I haven't even recorded any new Skyrim VR episodes. I know that's pretty much been holding the channel down. Other people are kind of pissed off about it and have dropped off. Oh, well, see ya, bye. But I want for everyone to know a lot of this stuff that's going on right now couldn't happen at a better time, both for me and for the community itself. I think a lot of us, whether it be content creators or, you know, just people who are flying in general, are kind of at that point where we're asking ourselves, okay, what do we do now? And I see the changes that are coming with Microsoft Flight Simulator, you know, some of the things that have been happening with like DCS World and whatnot, the new Sinai map and, you know, all the various aircraft that are coming that are still in two more weeks phase. I see all of that coming as kind of like the next step, the next phase, the turning point. Right now, I think at the time of this recording, with Flight Sim Expo not yet happening, we're probably going to see a lot more boom flowers come out of that. I'm hoping that we will see a lot more mind-blowing news and so on come out of it. And yes, I am going to get back into the whole video thing, both flight simming as well as doing, you know, my old Skyrim thing or whatnot.
Yep.
But I think we all need to kind of step back just a little bit and realize what's going on here. The entire thing is about to get kicked into the next notch. So before everybody starts, you know, breaking out those pitchforks and those torches, and, you know, before you start taking to Facebook and MFing this and MFing that and whatever, just kind of rein it back in for a second here and realize that traditionally, at this point in time in the year, is when we get the major flight sim changing news. The yep. bulk of it is going to happen next week. Mark my words on that. And then, of course, nice. I'll start coming in with the videos again, and I'll opine my two cents as I typically do when I'm doing shenanigans and whatnot. So you can expect all of that to come back. But right now, just take a breather, go to your own personal tropical island here, and just watch the show, because it's really about to kick off.
Yep.
Yeah.
And And I suppose for like last thoughts for me. So obviously this is the first video in 6 months on my channel. Apologies to everybody that it's been so long, but as you can probably see behind me, things are changed a bit for me.
Where are you broadcasting from, sir?
That is the reason why I have been gone for so long, is because it's quite a bit of a challenge to move from Australia to America. So I am now broadcasting to you from a basement somewhere in North America. No, it is not a nuclear bunker. It's fine. I'm not trying to do a Fallout roleplay here. So obviously, and much like Drew and your life, is obviously there's been a lot of change in my personal life. So with my personal and professional life taking a number of different changes and turns over the last sort of last little while, I left Australia in January, and I have been trying to set myself up in my new homeland, but it is taking a bit longer than I had planned. I'd hoped to be being back and to have come back to content creation and more regular video appearances some weeks or months ago, but things, as you can tell, you know, I am literally building my space right now. So, you know, any donations to help paint the walls would be great.
I suggest an island theme, man? Go with the island theme.
I got the island theme. So it was really ironic because I as soon as I signed off and all my stuff got put in shipping containers, like I'm literally filming this from a laptop in the basement right now. So I don't have my rigs and all my kit set up, my stuff's still in containers and whatever. And it's like, as soon as that happened, we had the scandal with bloody Captain Sim and the model and then deliveries and then doing it's that. And then we had flightsim.to and that shit show, which is, by the way, for anybody who may or may not know, I produce a lot of livery content and mission content. You may have noticed that all my content is no longer available at flightsim.to because I was like, trust is burnt, I'm out. Particularly after they tried to, that's a whole nother video. So we'd been discussing in our grumpiness about all these topics that we're going to get grumpy about. And I was lamenting just a few days ago about, you know, why all these, you know, all these things and all these scandals happen while I don't have anything set up to record. And then bloody Microsoft go and drop this boom flower on us. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I did. Half-finished basement or not. Half-finished basement or not, I don't care. We need to talk about this. So here we are. We have the next episode of the Three Grumpy Simps. The next two episodes is obviously end up being. So, there we go. So, yes, I have moved. I am. So hopefully it won't be too much longer before I'm back to more regular content updates, but please don't push me. Please don't expect anything in the short to medium term. I'm hoping to be back in the next couple of months. But in the meantime, as I said, I am going to be at Flight Sim Expo by a last minute change of plans of a few things. So
I hope you all have an absolute blast there again. I'm so sorry that I can't be there. You know, circumstances beyond my control.
Next year. Yes. You're going to make a commitment to the two of us and all the audience that you'll be there next year. But no,
all I have to
do
is convince them to have it in Pittsburgh, and that'll make my life even better. I'll come in my pajamas.
Well, we know we'll crash. So, folks, I do hope to see many of you at Flight Sim Expo, and make sure you keep an eye out for Sergio. You will not be able to miss him because he will be nagging everybody and asking them.
Just look for the pile of developers running away. Guarantee you,
if you see a developer running and screaming, just look at the direction they're running away from. And Sergio's going to be there, chasing them down. But seriously, I'm really looking forward to catching up with you again, Sergio, and looking forward to meeting all the viewers here. So With that, folks,
and tell them all Bell Geode sent you.
Yes.
All of them.
Said, yes, we
tell them Bell Geode sent you. Especially
we'll
the
need
VR
to get
people.
Lots of hats.
We're going to have some VR guys over there. I think Climax is going to be there.
I expect to see videos. I expect to see pictures. If Svetlana is there, tell her I said hi. Not again. On that last.
Are you looking for, we'll have to see if A2A have got Heidi at their booth. So anyway, with that, we are going to round this out. Thank you so much for joining us. And I do want to say an extra special thank you to both of my three grumpy simmers, my fellow two grumpy simmers. So thank you very much to Sergio from helisimmer.com.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, it's 2 a.m. I'm sleepy.
I'm thirsty. And thank you to the Purple Hat aficionado, VR maestro, Mr. Drew Belgiode.
I'm trying to make it do like a virtual Cheshire Cat thing where it's just like fade out. It's not doing it now. It's not doing it now. It needs to do it. So all that's left
You need your bottle, whatever it is that you were using.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You need a VTuber model. So, folks, don't forget to head over to helisimmer.com for all your latest flight simulation, but especially helicopter news. And don't forget to tune into his YouTube channel and, of course, to Mr. Drew Belgiode's YouTube channel for some great upcoming adventures in Skyrim and flight simulation. And while you're here, maybe give this channel a bit of a like and a follow as well. That'd be kind of cool.
No promises, but perhaps stay tuned. We haven't talked about it, Tristan, but we may do something perhaps on your channel when we are at FlySim Expo. That's always a possibility.
Would be nice. Well, yeah, check in.
You never know. Keep an eye out. You never know.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. You know, one of the traditions that I've had going to FlightSim Expo or FlightSim Con has been at the end of the convention, I usually put together some kind of a round table with either, you know, content creators or developers and so on and so forth. Somebody's got to keep the tradition going.
And I can tell the developers then that, hey, Belgiode sent us in his stead to keep going the tradition. So, yes.
Got
to
have that round table. Yep.
Yeah. All right, folks. Thanks very much for watching. See you at FlightSim Expo. Take care. Stay safe, guys. And we'll see you next time. Bye for now.